Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's great to be with you today. I am going to talk about St. Bonaventure, the spiritual senses, Our Lady of Mount Carmel, and the levels of faith, and how all of these things combine to help us to live our life of faith. A lot to cover today. Super excited to do so. And I'll get started in just a minute.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in eastern Washington and northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com.
All right, good morning. Welcome back. We're going to get started with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Lord our God, we come before you. In Jesus' name, I thank you and praise you for the gift of life, for the gift of our country, Lord, in this season. I pray for a sense of a recovery and a restoration of faith at the basis of how we see ourselves as a country, how we live our life as Americans. Lord, give us the grace to put our Catholic faith at the center of our identity, at the foundation of our identity, of our marriages, of our families, of our community. Lord, we do long for you to reign over all. We don't take, help us not to take you for granted, Lord. It's easy to do that. And so, Lord, help us to repent of instances where we settle for softness, we settle for complacency, where we settle for ease. Lord, we don't want to do that. We want to live a life that is vigorous and rigorous, a life that's courageous, Lord, a life that is generous. Help us to strive for generosity and courage in pursuing you and in addressing those things that get in the way of honoring you and get in the way of loving you and serving you. But help us to realize the shortness of our lives. Help us to realize the brevity of our lives compared to what's at stake. But what's at stake is life together with you forever, not just for ourselves, but for those we love. Lord, widen our hearts. Widen our hearts to put the focus on being as fruitful as possible in how we live this one life that we get to live here on earth. Thank you, Lord, for life. Thank you for our faith. And Lord, help us to be not just grateful for the gift of being Catholic, but give us that sense of stewardship that we've been entrusted with, a pearl of great price, that we've been entrusted with a treasure, and that you gave us that treasure, Lord, because you love us, but also so that we could share that treasure with others. Lord, we don't want to fall short. In that regard, we want to live in accord with the fullness of the stewardship that is ours. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, so today, there's several things I'm going to share with you. I want to talk about St. Bonaventure. His feast day snuck up on me. I didn't realize it until I went to Mass, and all of a sudden, oh, it's the memorial of St. Bonaventure. St. Bonaventure is one of those saints that I got introduced to because I went to the seminary. It's a very interesting thing. I want you to stop and think about this. How did the saint or saints who have most profoundly impacted your life, how did you get introduced to them? Right. So I can think of, for instance, it might be St. Jose Maria Escrivá. So he's the founder of Opus Dei. And I know that he had or has, he's had a lot of impact on the laity in our time because of his writings and the movement of Opus Dei. Or maybe like St. Francis de Sales, Introduction to the Devout Life. Or St. John of the Cross, right? I've got a conviction. I've got a basic conviction that his writings are not going to be appreciated by 99% of all Catholics who will ever live after him. When he died in the, I think it was the late 1500s, when he died. And what I mean is this, is that I have pondered his writings, honestly, for 40 years. And I still can't get through them. I can barely get through a couple of paragraphs. And what I mean is this, is I can read the words. I can, like if you started reading The Ascent of Mount Carmel, where he maps out the ascent, the journey of the spiritual life, which he compares to this ascent up a mountain, Mount Carmel, right? Yesterday was the Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, who is the patroness of the Carmelite order. But when I read the Ascent of Mount Carmel, just the first couple of chapters that are part of the first book, the opening book, where he's talking about the very beginnings of the first stage of the spiritual life and of the things that hold people back from spiritual progress, I'm just stunned. I'm stunned at the level of insight he has because, for instance, he'll identify some of the spiritual harms that come from accessing your senses and utilizing your senses, sight, sound, hearing, etc., using those senses in ways that are not purified, right? Your senses, the things that you look at, the things that you listen to, the things that you enjoy through smell, touch, and taste, and how those senses are gateways to accessing certain experiences in life. And they're not all good. They're not all by default going to be good. And so he identifies, for instance, just a list of these spiritual harms. And when I say that 99% of Catholics are never going to appreciate this, I mean, first of all, 90% of Catholics are never going to read it. And then the 10% who do read John of the Cross are just going to blow right through that paragraph. They're going to blow right through those paragraphs and not stop and ponder each of the five or six spiritual harms that he identifies with this spiritual sense or this physical sense being utilized in an inappropriate way versus this one. But when I read it, I ponder it. I try to ponder each of the harms that he's talking about. And frankly, it's a bit overwhelming and it's astonishing. The overwhelming part is, oh my goodness, I had no idea. I had no idea that these kinds of spiritual harms can happen in my spiritual life by me using my eyes to look at things in a way that hasn't been purified. And then the same with hearing, and then with, again, touch and taste and smell. In fact, when you've heard me talk about comfortable dissipation, and I referenced John of the Cross, I'm talking about one of those chapters. I'm talking about those chapters where he says that there are these different evils that enter our lives because of our lack of purification of these senses and how we use our senses. So I'm thinking, how many Catholics have ever read that, read through those chapters, or pondered it, if you have read them? And having pondered them, I've made a decision to say, I'm going to do something about it. I'm not going to settle for it. And it's only when we've gone that far, when we've gone as far to say, I'm going to read it, I'm going to reflect upon it, I'm going to then allow the truths that come from my reflection to settle into my life, and I'm going to start to make decisions about how I'm living based on those truths. That's the process, right? Where we'll then gain some insight. Then we'll really understand what John of the Cross is saying. And so it's my, you know, fundamental conviction that in all the history of the church, it's going to be less than 1% of the Catholics that are ever going to walk that path, to go down through that process and let those words that John, St. John of the Cross, has put into these writings to really take root in our lives. And it's an incredible gift if you get someone, a teacher, who's able to help you understand those texts. So today I'm talking about St. Bonaventure. I'm not talking about St. John of the Cross. I had, again, you've heard me talk about Father Mark Noonan. When I think about impact that someone wants to have on someone's life, for me, I think of Father Mark Noonan. He died a few months ago. Please pray for the repose of his soul. A priest of the Archdiocese of Boston who spent the great majority of his priesthood as a philosophy professor and spiritual director at St. John's Seminary. And he is someone who used his gifts to introduce people like me, students that he had in the seminary, and then others who would come to the seminary for teaching and different kinds of programs, that he impacted people's lives just in an extraordinary way by his teaching. And he was the one who introduced me to St. Bonaventure. And so he introduced St. Bonaventure to me in a class on St. Bonaventure. And I really, I've got to say that it's such a rare thing to have a course, a class, a college class devoted to St. Bonaventure. What a rare, rare thing. Among all the different theologians and themes and ways of taking classes, I've never heard of a class on St. Bonaventure other than the one I took. And what Father Noonan was able to introduce me into through that class were several things, several big, impactful things that have changed my life. And I wonder how my life would be different had it not been for, say, Bonaventure, had it not been for that class on St. Bonaventure. So I'm going to share with you some of these key insights. I want to hand on to you what I myself received through that class about St. Bonaventure. And I want St. Bonaventure to be a gift to you today. He's this 13th century saint who lived an incredible life. But what does an ordinary Catholic know about St. Bonaventure? I'm going to share with you some insights that will potentially have the power to change your life. Change how you see the faith, change how you pray, or what you appreciate about our life of faith. And I want that to be a gift to you that I pass on today. The second part of it, though, is for you to stop and think, who has been a mentor to you in the spiritual life? Who has been a mentor? Who has introduced you, who has accompanied you, walked with you, so that you could come to understand a great saint, almost all of the great theologians in the history of our church up until, say, the last century, right? They just haven't been maybe dead long enough to be made saints yet, but the great saints down through the ages, the great theologians down through the ages, have all been saints, the greatest of them. There might be a few outliers, but who introduced you to how to reflect and read these great saints so that they could impact your life? And I want you to say a prayer for that person today. Or maybe reach out to them. Send them a text, an email, write them a note. God bless us, write them a note. Just say thank you. Thank you for the gift that you have been in my life because you introduced me to this saint, this author, and this has changed my life. All right, come up against a break. When we come back, we're going to do that. Okay? Back in a minute.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. It's such a delight to be with you today. As I share with you, I'm handing on to you what I myself received. It's that principle of tradition. When you've received a gift from someone, and ultimately it comes from the Lord has given you that gift because he loves you. So be able to acknowledge that, acknowledge that the Lord delights in you enough to give you beautiful gifts. And then ponder just the reality that among all the gifts that you've received, really, if you have to try to put them in terms of a scale of values, the gift that you receive that comes from that helps you advance in the life of faith, that's huge. What a huge blessing. Who taught you how to read the Bible? Who taught you how to pray the rosary well? Who taught you how to integrate the devotion of Eucharistic adoration into your life of faith? Who helped you understand the Mass? Who helped you know how to make a good examination of conscience and go to confession? Right? These are all so important in our life. Who taught you how to pray? These are huge, 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 huge. And I'm becoming more and more aware of my shortcomings as a father in that I relied upon, probably too much, my own example as the way of handing on the faith. That, okay, if we prayed as a family and they heard me pray, we went to confession or adoration as a family and they saw us doing this, more than direct teaching. And we did do some direct teaching. But I feel the discrepancy or the distance between the teaching that I've received. Did I really hand that on to my kids in the window when I had the chance? And I, of course, I still do, right? My oldest is just 25, and I still have that chance to hand on to all of my kids through audio files, right? Through the radio program. Kids, listen to this, right? I could still do that. Today I bring that up just because, again, of my sense of gratitude for Father Mark Noonan and the class I took on Bonaventure. That class I took was in the spring of 1985. So 40 years ago, over 40 years ago is what I'm talking about. Okay, so let's start in first. One of the most important insights I gained from Father Noonan, present all through the writings of St. Bonaventure, is the power and importance of the affective dimension in our spiritual lives. The power and importance of the affective, the affections. I chose not to use the word emotions or desires, because those take on too much of a either psychological or purely experiential meaning. And I don't think that really helps. It doesn't really serve what I'm trying to get across and what Bonaventure does. But here's what I mean. If you were to read the greatest writings, the most impactful writings of St. Bonaventure, probably the most impactful is The Soul's Journey into God, or sometimes called The Soul's Journey in God. And if you were to, another one of his is his Life of St. Francis, The Life of Francis. Very important book. And then the third that I would mention, it was another one that we went through, is called The Tree of Life, which maps out the moral life in connection with the spiritual life and spiritual growth. And it really powerfully lays out the strength of Bonaventure as a theologian. But if you took a look at those writings, and we had a chance to explore them all, we read them all in addition to other writings. What Father Noonan brings out is the way in which the role of desire is the engine for the spiritual life. The role of desire. Now, you hear that, and again, I want you to pause for a minute. Desire in Bonaventure is connected all the way back to St. Augustine. So St. Augustine, end of the 4th, 5th century, to the first third of the 5th century, in his writings, Augustine, he is writing in a way that was influenced significantly by Neoplatonism, Plato. And in Neoplatonism, there's a way in which our status as a creature that would have been created by God, it shows up in our human experience. And part of how it shows up is when you stop and are silent and you go within yourself, you'll experience this fundamental pull, this desire for God. And that pull or desire is the pull back towards the origin from which I came. I was created by God, so I came forth from God. That's called the exitus, exit. I exited, I came forth from God. And so within me, there is a yearning, a longing to return to the one from whom I came. And like, for instance, you know this, in Augustine, in the Confessions, you have in the very beginning of the Confessions, you have his, probably his most famous statement, which is that you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. That restless heart is the ache in the human heart. And that ache is that longing for God, that longing to return to God. Okay. And once you had the encounter with God, that longing, now that you've encountered the living God through Jesus Christ, that longing, which is an emptiness that seeks to be filled. Once you've encountered God, you're no longer empty, seeking to be filled, but you have a yearning to go deeper into God. You have a yearning to explore God. So Augustine has this, kind of a, what if it's, I'll put it as a paraphrase. The one who seeks God finds God because of his mercy. And the one who finds God continues to seek for God because of his immensity. The one who seeks God finds God because of his mercy. The one who finds God continues to seek for God because of his immensity. So there's always going to be that fundamental mark in the core of our being, which is this desire, this longing. And that longing is either an emptiness that longs to be filled or a yearning for a fullness that has not yet been attained. There's more. So there's the search for God, and then there's the research, the adventure, the yearning and longing to plunge ever more fully into God. It's like a kid in a candy store. There's so much. There's so much. It's a fill to overflowing that, again, God is this fountain fullness. It's an overflowing fountain, the reality of God. Okay, so that tradition shows up in Bonaventure. He is considered sort of the pinnacle of the Augustinian tradition that, again, is not Neoplatonic, but utilizes some of the framework and concepts drawn from Plato and Neoplatonism, Plotinus. Just like Aquinas was more deeply influenced by Aristotle. Okay, so Bonaventure, this shows up in his writings. This shows up in full force in his writings, where he will talk about the way in which our life of faith will involve a scholastic dimension and a monastic dimension. The scholastic dimension is the, let's call it the rigor of the scientist, the one who seeks clarity in concept and a good, clear, clean ordering, a well-ordered presentation of concepts that ought to be logically correct, it ought to be precise, and that clean, clear presentation allows us to know more fully who God is. Very important for our life of faith, the scholastic dimension. But Bonaventure is going to emphasize that true growth in holiness, true sanctity and becoming a witness to Christ, a full, radiant witness to Christ, is going to come from the monastic dimension. And that monastic dimension is not so much coming from a stepping back and a clear ordering of concepts in theology, but by plunging in, immersing oneself in the reality of God. It's running after the Lord. It's pursuing the Lord with a yearning. It's the psalm that is said most frequently in the Liturgy of the Hours in the four-week cycle in morning prayer, I should say. The most common one stated in morning prayer, which is Psalm 63. O God, you are my God, for you I long. For you my soul is thirsting. My body pines for you, like a dry, weary land without water. So I long to gaze on you in the sanctuary, to see your strength and your glory. For your love is better than life. My lips will sing your praise. So I will bless you all my life. In your name I will lift up my hands. So this psalm is the very first psalm said on Sunday morning, week one. So the beginning of that four-week Psalter, Sunday, week one, Sunday morning, first psalm, is this psalm that is marked by deep desire, longing and yearning. Okay. Bonaventure puts this at the center of growing in faith. All right. Let me ask you, how often have you heard about that? What does that even look like? How do we respond to that? How do we grow in that desire? Isn't that more a symptom of emotionalism? Isn't that overemphasizing the emotions? Isn't our life of faith more rational and dutiful and volitional, our will, where we fulfill the duties of our state in life? What is with this emphasis on desire and emotion? And you can see this is a contemporary weakness. Our time cannot really welcome, cannot really easily integrate the insights of Bonaventure because of our weakness. We have tended to separate what Bonaventure distinguished. You can distinguish without separating. Unfortunately, we tend to separate the logical, rational approach to faith is somehow over here on the one side, and on the other side is the emphasis on feelings, emotions, expressions that are big and loud, vibrant, or just the use of our body and emotions in our life of faith tends to be really, like, you have to be so cautious. You have to be so, you know, aware that you could just be falling into emotionalism and over focus on experiences. Unfortunately, that's what's happened today is there is a certain strand or stream of spiritual writing that focuses on, like, fostering a certain experience as a sign of spiritual activity or spiritual growth. And it's a great sadness because it really holds back our life of faith. Okay, let's cut to the chase. If that's what Bonaventure teaches, and this is not like some wild speculation about Bonaventure, you cannot get through the introduction to his book, The Soul's Journey into God, or The Life of Francis, or The Tree of Life. Can't get through the introduction of any of those books without reading His passionate presentation of profound theological and spiritual concepts. And what I'm going to say to you is, if you begin to read his writings, and especially read, because he's a great teacher, a master teacher, he will draw you into this way of praying, praying from a passionate foundation in your relationship with the Lord. You'll change. It will impact your life. Your spiritual life will shift. And it can be a little bit shaking. It can kind of shake the foundation a bit, because the idea of us doing what Psalm 63 actually is saying, and the church is proclaiming, "Oh God, you are my God, for you I long, for you my soul is thirsting." I want you to imagine how the psalmist would be praying that. He'd be praying it with deep desire, with longing, with yearning. It would be embodied. It would be a full expression. "Oh God, you are my God. For you I long. For you my soul is thirsting. My body pines for you like a dry, weary land without water. So I long to gaze on you in the sanctuary." It would certainly not be a armchair philosopher with a pipe in his hand and a whiskey in his other hand, at a comfortable distance, saying, "Oh God, you are my God, for you I long." Sorry, not a very good imitation, but I think you get the point. And that changed my life. It changed my spirituality. I did not grow up as someone who had, let's call it, an easy, integrated approach to the spiritual life, integrating the intellect and the will and the emotions, that fundamental role of desire in the spiritual life, allowing that a space to grow and develop, really has changed my life. And so I want to encourage you to learn from Bonaventure. And it's not just Bonaventure, it's that period in our history. Read the writings of St. Catherine of Siena. Again, affective theology. It's theology that isn't simply abstract with philosophical concepts that are, again, disconnected from the heart, from the dimension of desire. And again, I just don't want to say emotions, but it manifests itself in the emotions. We, unfortunately, are not living in a time where that kind of return is going to be easy, but you don't have responsibility to make that shift, to make that return yourself, for the whole of the church. But what you can do, you can make that shift in your own life. And the spiritual good that it will have is immense. What will it do? Well, I'll tell you about it in just a minute. Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. It's great to be with you. Today I'm honoring the gift of St. Bonaventure in my life, given to me by the Lord, but through Father Mark Noonan, professor, spiritual director of mine, and such an incredible gift. And I really want that. I want to hand on to you just some of the gift that St. Bonaventure has been in my life, so that you can benefit too. So I was talking about the distinction between veritas monastica and veritas scholastica, right? So that idea that so often the way that we live our faith or grow in faith is associated with is associated with like more rational approaches to theology. And I can pick it up. I mean, you can pick it up when you're talking to people. When they bring up the Lord, when they bring up Jesus, do you sense that personal contact? Do you sense that there is a meaningful relationship with Jesus? I can tell. It's I'm going to give you an analogy. So around the same time, you have the Imitation of Christ, Thomas à Kempis. And at the very beginning, I think it's in the first chapter, I would rather experience contrition than to know how to define it, he says. I would rather experience contrition than to know how to define it. That's kind of like Veritas Monastica and Veritas Scholastica. Do you know scholastically how to define the teachings of the church? Is it more important for you to be able to define what it means that Jesus is Lord and that Jesus is Savior and that Jesus is healer? Or is it more important for you to experience the Lordship of Jesus in your life, the healing power of Jesus in your life, and the saving power of Jesus in your life? And the answer is yes, of course. It's both and, right? It's both and on the one hand. But on the other hand, if you have to choose one, if you have to choose only one dimension, I want my kids to be able to experience the saving power of Jesus when they're struggling. I want them to know the healing power of Jesus when they are struggling. I want them to experience the life-giving power of Jesus when they are struggling, right? I'm guessing that's what you'd want too. Okay. So if that's true, let's translate that over to, of course, then you want them to also get the concepts clarified. You see, oh, this means that Jesus is your Lord. This means that Jesus is your healer, right? So of course you'd want both, but you'd want the experiential dimension, the dimension of the encounter with the reality. And that's what Bonaventure was identifying as the key to spiritual growth, is the encounter with the person of Christ. And it's not just the person of Christ, it's the person of Christ crucified. And that is not easy, brothers and sisters. Do we really, really want to experience in our life of faith an encounter with Christ crucified? Is that what we want more than anything? We do not. I shouldn't say that. I do not. Do you want to look at Christ crucified, Christ on the cross, and there say, Lord, more than anything else, I want to join you on the cross. I want to join you in your crucifixion, out of my love for you, my burning love for you. Sadly, we I think settle for having Jesus undergo the cross so that we could be freed from the implications of our sins, and that he would undergo that cross in our place and for our sake and on our behalf so that we don't have to, right? I think that's where many of us are, at least as we start the life of faith. But as we grow, what Bonaventure introduces us to is the person of Francis, who is the witness, the model disciple of Jesus. And what Francis lives is this passionate desire to be one with Jesus crucified. It's that passionate desire to be one with Jesus crucified. Now, why? Why? Well, because it's through the crucifixion that we come to the resurrection. It's only through his passion and death that we come to new life. And honestly, it's only through the passion and death that Christ lived before us. He lived by going before us, that he's going to set us free to become the saints that we are called to become. Right? Do you think about that? You're called to become a saint. You're called to live a life of sanctity. You're called to fulfill a certain mission while you're here on earth. You will not live that mission if you avoid Christ crucified. And so that desire that's in us, that desire that I've talked about, that, you know, Augustine used as a central concept in his theology, and Bonaventure is, again, the crown of that theology of desire as the central thrust or dynamism of our life of faith, is the idea that we would, in fact, seek to come into that intimate, profound union with Jesus Christ crucified. That's what we're called to. And through that union with Christ, guess what? We are not only are we going to experience a sense of cleansing of our own sin, detachment from our own sin, but we will become more radiant witnesses to Jesus in the world. So yesterday at Mass, there was the first reading of Moses tending the sheep in Midian and being drawn to the burning bush. And he then goes from the burning bush, from that encounter, to discover his real identity and his real mission now that he's met God. He knows who God is. Now he knows who he is and what he's supposed to do. Later in Exodus, Moses is going to go up the mountain and commune with God. And out of that communion, when he comes down, there's a radiance. And that radiance is so bright, the radiance of the glory of God shining on his face, that he has to put on a veil, right? You remember that. Okay, so this is a theme that gets carried out in this affective theological tradition, that what is magnetic is radiant. And so the desire we have is like coming from inside of us and pulling us forward. Well, Bonaventure, again, going back to Augustine, but Bonaventure develops this. You know that desire to think is driving you forward? It's actually a magnet. You're being pulled forward. Even more than you think that you are desiring something that's moving you forward, you're actually being magnetically drawn. And what is that magnetic draw? That's the love of God. The love of God is the draw. You're being drawn back into that perfect union with God that is heaven. That's your ultimate call, is that being drawn to God. It's love. Now, in the person of Francis, it's not just you're being drawn by the love of God. No, it's you're being drawn to and being drawn by the love of Jesus crucified, who's expressing his infinite love for you by dying for you on the cross and drawing you into union with him. Because as you're drawn into union with him, not only will you become cleansed, not only will you grow in holiness, but you will become radiant. You will become radiant as a result of that union. The glory of God will shine on your face. How's that for a vision of the spiritual life? I don't know about you, but that for me is really inspiring. I want to be more radiant. Lord, I want to be in union with you, crucified, so that you can be more radiant and shine forth through my life in this world. That's Bonaventure. You can take on those holy sentiments, those holy desires. You can incorporate them into your own pious acts. Well, when you're preparing for communion, when you're going to adoration, when you're praying your rosary, you can pray out of that affective dimension, that because the Lord is loving you, you're being drawn by his love to gaze upon him on the cross, to become more fully in union with him, and then you will express him in your world. Powerful vision of our life of faith. All right, I'm up against a break. I'll be back in a minute. Hey, welcome back to the program. I know I've got a shorter section here, but just to finish up with Bonaventure for right now, that idea of being drawn into union with Christ crucified, St. Francis is the perfect model. His union with Christ was so profound, so perfect, that the interior union with Christ crucified was so complete that it expressed itself in his body. The very stigmata, the wounds of Christ, were an outward expression of the interior union that Bonaventure had, sorry, that St. Francis had with Jesus crucified. And so I share that with you to say that's a powerful model for us. Gaze upon Christ crucified, and you will experience contrition. You'll experience a desire for penance, a desire to make satisfaction for the sins of others, a desire to help repair the damage that sin causes. Now, this is not apart from Christ. This is not somehow saying somehow Christ fell short, but rather this is enlarging your heart. You now have not just a sense of union with Christ in holiness, but you desire to share in his redeeming mission. You desire to share in that mission of redemption that Christ won for the world. And you can do that by union with Christ. You'll experience this desire. And Bonaventure, he has so much to say about penance and about the power and importance of penance. And again, I don't have real time, unfortunately, to dig into that, but he will teach us that, like, a lot of penance isn't just like physical fasting, but it's also things like weeping over sins. There it is again. That's another expression of the desire in love, right? You may have you ever wept over your sins? If you have, it's probably because you wept over the damage that your sin caused to somebody you love very much. Those are the ones that hurt you most deeply, right? Well, what if you sensed the hurt, the damage that your sin causes? Christ crucified. You've heard me talk about that. That is traced back, once again, to Bonaventure and the life of Francis, and how he wept. It impacted his very vision. His ability to see was impacted because of the weeping he did over his sins. And the closer he came to God in holiness, the more powerfully and profoundly he experienced contrition over the sins that he had committed in his life. So, there, in just a few broad strokes, is a me handing on to you some insights from St. Bonaventure in the hopes that you will consider opening up a bit more your own sense of desire as an engine in your spiritual life. It is in our Catholic tradition, St. Bonaventure, St. Catherine of Siena, two very great examples, not the only ones, who explore and express the profound impact of that fundamental desire and the affective expressions in prayer that are all through the Old Testament scriptures. Even Jesus, yesterday in the gospel, I praise you, Father, that exultant praise that Jesus does. These are all things that I think hamper us and hold us back today, and they ought not. They don't need to. All right, there you go. I'm up against the end of my program. I pray God's blessings on your day, and join me tomorrow for more Found Insight.